ancient words.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Ever new. It's amazing you can open that book, have read it dozens of times, and light upon a scripture that you've gone through, and it's new, it's vibrant, it teaches you something you didn't know before. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. He did rise. He's alive forevermore. And is coming back again. Amen. Now we're going to get a little more personal this morning. I want you to go to verse 13 of the 24th chapter of Luke. This is the last chapter. 24 verses 1 through 12 talk about Christ and his resurrection and the women going to the tomb and Peter and John running to the tomb. You know, when we think about disciples of Christ, we think of the 11 or the 12. Judas by this time was gone. But there were many more. There were 144, we know for sure, that were direct followers of Christ, went with him everywhere he went, listened to him teach for three and a half years. There were more than just the 11. The 11 became the apostles. But there were many that followed him intently and hung on every word and committed their lives to him. When you get to chapter 24 and verse 13, after we read about the resurrection, there are two of these disciples. I call them broken disciples. They're on their way back to a village called Emmaus, 8-hour walk. They were sorrowful, heavy-hearted, broken. Mind and spirit as low maybe as it could ever have been. Soul was sick. They concluded, these two, that Jesus was dead. For 3 years they heard him teach. They joyfully anticipated the next day of another miracle. They saw his love, his compassion towards others. One day he came to all of them and looked at them and said, "I'm not going to call you servants anymore. I'm going to call you friends." And the word friend meant much more than I think it means today. We call a lot of people friends. Husband's in love with his wife deeply. That's friendship. Friends. Intimate. Experiential friendship. They went through that. They experienced that. They walked with him. They talked with him. They watched him do miracle after miracle. They spent every waking moment that they had with him. And if you look at verse Number 20. Let me find it for you. Here it is, 21. They're talking, and they said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." But now it's the third day. Where is he? So this brokenness, this heartache, this suffering, this inability to grasp what they saw as reality, and it began to set in. They were without Jesus. Let me just say this. The world's in the same condition. As a believer, you can get in that same condition. Your reality is changed. You make a reality that isn't the one reality God has for you. Because of that, there seems to be no Jesus. And there are thousands and thousands of people in our area that are walking around every day, broken, alone, sorrowful, because they have no Jesus. They need Christ. These two disciples, they were going back to their homes, back to work. Now they had only past memories, recent pain, and no Jesus. What else could they do but go back to Emmaus? Go back home. There was nothing for them at Jerusalem anymore. They couldn't handle the thought of being in the city where he was crucified and so brutally treated, and they just were trying to get away. So they're walking, heading towards Emmaus. As they walked, "Hey, hi buddies, what are you talking about?" Somebody showed up. Have you ever been so grief-stricken it's hard to recognize anybody? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's hard to put your hand on it. Well, that's how they were. They were just so into their own position and their own reality, they couldn't recognize this person that showed up. He said unto them, "What kind of communications, what kind of discussion are you having? What's this all about?" The one of them said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? You haven't been here very, very long. Don't you know what's gone on? What's come to pass in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers condemned him, crucified him." Then they go on and tell him the story about some women went to the tomb and they said they found it empty. Peter and John went to the tomb and they also found it that way, but it's the third day. And you go back to Mark chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 16, you'll find where Jesus distinctly sat down with his disciples and said, "Son of Man must come to Jerusalem be crucified, and the third day he'll rise from the dead. They were referring to that, but it didn't happen. It wasn't a reality to them. They didn't. There's no Jesus. So let's talk to this guy. I love this. Isn't it just like Jesus to show up when you feel about ready to just quit? Huh? Isn't it just like Jesus to show up when things become so hard, so overwhelming, so burdened? Isn't it just like him? And he showed up. And so I want to share with you just three things about this encounter that I think will be a blessing to you, and I hopefully you'll use it in your walk with Christ. Number one, I want you to notice they had burdened hearts. Burdened hearts. There are three reasons they did, and they're all found for us in this passage. Number one, they had burdened hearts because of blindness. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden. That word holden means blinded. They were covered. They were hazed over. It's like you put on blinders and they couldn't see. They were blinded. They could not recognize due to the trauma and stress that had seized them. They were so overcome with grief and heartache. They couldn't see. This man's talking to them. They're conversing with this man, but they couldn't see who it really was. I cannot tell you how many times in my Christian life, there have been multiple times when Jesus was there and I couldn't see. I didn't even recognize. Couldn't grasp that thought. They were there with him, walking with him, but they were so burdened, so overwhelmed, stressed and traumatized that they were blinded. But not only were they blinded, verse 16, but they were burdened because of grief. Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now that's not the same word fools that are used other places in the New Testament or even in the Old Testament to refer to somebody who is unwilling to understand the truth and lives a life on his own. That man is a fool. This word is not a word used in a derogatory way. Christ is using it, would never call someone a fool in a derogatory way. This is more of a symptomatic kind of foolishness. Let me give you the explanation. It's foolishness because of grief. They were so grieved that they couldn't think straight. How many understand that? They were so grieved that they couldn't turn the thing over. They couldn't make sense of it. And so they responded foolishly. It's the third day. He's not here. He's not coming. Where is he? We thought it was. They were foolish because of grief. I've said some dumb things in my life. Foolish things. Because of grief. God's been charged by many a Christian, blamed, questioned because of grief. These disciples These two men, same thing. They were burdened because of blindness. They were burdened because of grief, verse 25. And then I think they were burdened because of doubt. Look what it says also in verse 25, interesting verse. Then he said unto them, O fools, listen to this phrase, and slow of heart. That word means unconvinced. They weren't convinced. Matthew 16, Mark 9, the Son of Man is going to be tormented, put on a cross, put to death, and rise again the third day. They were unconvinced. It's the third day. Where is he? Slow of heart, doubt, distrust, unwillingness to listen to your heart. It's an unconvinced position. They had burdened hearts. As they walked, Jesus says, O fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered? He was supposed to suffer, he said. It was part of what the prophet said. It was necessary for him to go to the cross. It was necessary for him to go to death. And it was just as necessary for him to rise from the dead, because once risen, he will return to glory. If you read the rest of this passage, the ascension is mentioned here. This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus went to heaven. It was all part of God's plan. Amen? Well, what happened to these burdened hearts? Look at verse number 32. I love this verse. They said one to another, these two guys, did not our hearts burn within us? What changed from burdened hearts to burning hearts? What caused them to go from where they were to where they found themselves? How did they move from burdened hearts to burning hearts, glowing, warmed, filling the soul? How did that happen? Look at verse 27. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. What made the difference? The Bible, the Word of God, that changed them. And it's interesting to me that for 8 hours, you have to grasp this. The Bible says Moses, the prophets, and the rest of Scripture. Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible. The prophets, all of the prophetic books in the Bible. All the rest of Scripture, Psalms, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job's, all those other books, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. All those other books, for 8 hours they walked with Christ, and he opened up from Genesis to Malachi the things concerning himself. For 8 hours he taught the Word of God to them. Where was he? Well, I hold on, I'll tell you. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The promise to Eve in Genesis 3:15. The promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 21. The lamb, the scapegoat, the offering for sin, Exodus 12. The broken and brazen serpent, Numbers 24. The great prophet, Deuteronomy 18. The star, the scepter, Numbers 24. The smitten rock, Numbers 20. Emmanuel, Isaiah 7. The child born, Isaiah 9:6. The son given, Isaiah 9:7. His authority and kingdom, Isaiah 9:7. The good shepherd, Psalm 23. The suffering savior, Psalm 22. The triumphant sovereign, Psalm 24. The coming king, Daniel 7. The ruling conqueror, Daniel 9. The ruler of Bethlehem, Micah 5. The branch, Zechariah 6. The lowly king, Zechariah 9. The pierced victim, Zechariah 12. The smitten shepherd, Zechariah 13. The messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3. The son of righteousness, Malachi 4. In Moses, the prophets, and all the scriptures for 8 solid hours, he went from Genesis all the way to Malachi and said, I am here. I rose from the dead. Here's the proof. It's the scriptures. Wake up. Verse 32. They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Wow! What a Savior. What a Christ. Can't you just see those fellas sitting with Christ? And they finally made it to Emmaus. Jesus was going to continue on. They said, spend the night, stick around. We're going to eat. Okay, they put some fish on, some bread on, and he broke the bread. And the Bible says their eyes were opened. Some say Jesus' breaking of the bread was just something he did so often with the disciples that picture would have reminded them of who he is. That may be true, but I think more realistically, for 3 years they heard him teach truth after truth after truth after truth after truth, and now he's taught to them for 8 hours, and they sat down and they're musing and they're thinking and they're going, it's you're Jesus. I like the first epistle of John, the first part of that passage says our hands, eyes have seen, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That word handled means touched, held, palled around with, put our arms on his shoulder. We were buddies. That's how they were there. They were probably so giddy, like two little kids. So excited, they couldn't believe it. Bouncing around, just on top of the world, from a brokenness that could not be seen by many, but felt in the same way by thousands who did know him and thought he was gone, from a burden brokenness to a incredible difference in their hearts, beaming with the thought of Christ's resurrection. How did that happen? Number one, they listened to the right person. Have you ever listened to yourself so long that you forgot about Christ? You didn't listen to him? How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, you got it all figured out. I know how this is going to work. And it doesn't work that way at all. Christ comes along and says, that's not my plan. And when we turn our ear from ourselves to Christ, we're listening to the right person. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus want? Where does Jesus want me to go? How will he take me there? What's his course of action? They listened to the right person. Number two, they listened to the right evidence. Amen. Oh, it's the third day he's not coming back. He's not. So Jesus said, well, let's walk a little longer and let's start over here in Genesis. Start in Genesis and got to the end of Exodus, and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. He went through them all. Oh, there's another one he said. Oh, don't forget Psalms. Oh, Daniel, we go to Daniel. It's just wonderful passages, Daniel. All the way to the end of Malachi. He might have had to take a breath. Been talking for 8 hours. They listened to the right person, but they got the right evidence. Amen? And the result was they had a changed heart. I wrote this down. A risen Savior makes all the difference. Amen? Change from doubt to trust. Change from no faith to new faith. Change from brokenness to triumph. Amen? So number one, they had burdened hearts. Number two, they had burning hearts. Number three, write this down. They had believing hearts. Look at verse 33, and this is a verse that's exciting. Where were they going? Back to where? Emmaus. Why? Christ was dead. What hope had they? None. They met Jesus. He talked to them for 8 hours. They sat down and ate dinner with him. Their hearts were open. Their eyes were open. And verse 33 says, and they rose up that same hour, late at night, and returned to Jerusalem. Why go back there? That's where all the action is. Amen? Christ is raised from the dead. We have to tell somebody. So they ran back to find the 11 and listen to them again discuss this, the events that the 11 had gone through, Mary and the other Marys and Peter and John, and they were just waiting. In fact, it says, and they rose up, went back to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, and they're talking, these 11, the Lord has risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And when they finished, it says, and they told what things were done in the way, and how that he was known unto them in the breaking of bread. He said, look, it's our turn. We just went 8 hours. We just came back 8 hours. We got something to say, and you're not going to believe what we're going to tell you. This is not speculation. This is not a guess. This is not a ghost. This is not. He was there. For 8 hours, he talked to us. And he just went on and on and on and on and on. It was incredible. Can't you just hear him telling these 11, And these guys, they're probably blinking. They're probably going, we never heard it like that. That's unbelievable. Then verse 36, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst. I tell you, Jesus got there quicker than 8 hours. And said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, I firmly believe that the only ones that acted the way they acted in the next verse were the 11. I don't think the other two did, because they had just spent 8 hours walking with him flesh to flesh. And these 11 heard them tell their story. The Bible says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Those 11 goofballs. The other two are saying, what's wrong with the 11? These guys, what's wrong with those? They got to, oh, for heaven's sakes, wake up, guys. Well, it took them 8 hours to wake up. But they woke up, because they had seen him in the flesh talking with them. And now here he was in the room, in the flesh talking with them. He said, why are you troubled? Why are thoughts arisen in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. Do you see here? You see these holes? You see my side? It's me. Verse 41. Have you any meat? Isn't that great? Let's sit down and eat, guys. You need to rest. They probably had have a nurse there to check their blood pressure. Sit down. Rest. I'm here. These two disciples are so like us. When our faith is tested, we sometimes break. But you don't have to stay broken. Jesus is here. We listen to him, we're listening to the right person. And he'll open the word of God to us and say, what about this verse? What about this passage? Don't you remember? These disciples are so unique and yet so exactly like us. May we move from burdened hearts to burning hearts to believing hearts and walk with the Savior down the Emmaus Road until we get to heaven. And may we listen to everything he says and make application and use it for his glory, because he's a risen Savior. And because he lives, we shall live also. God, help us to love you, serve you, live for you, we pray in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.